9 a.m., and it is time for the weekly business session for July 6th, 2016, 9 a.m. As we normally do, if we'd begin our time together standing and pledging allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible,
We begin our agenda this morning with the recognition of employees, which is always a nice way to do it. And we have two. Larry Graves is one. He's the airport manager. He's been here for 5 years, but he is not attending. He has some pressing business that is going on, and he was not able to make it down. But he's been here 5 years and as the airport manager. But we do have John Edwards here from the clerk's office. And John, if you would come forward, please, we will be happy to express our thanks to you, but also then allow you to say a few words if you'd like.
And Trish is the clerk.
Yeah. Come on down. Yeah, Trish could come up and yep. She could validate the fact that you really are here for 20 years.
It's part of your job.
But here's your pin, John. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And the certificate saying basically we appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you. You're the one that's done all the work.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. But please do
share
take
the
something.
Time to step up to the podium and reflect on your 20 years. If you would, you don't have to.
No, thank you.
Okay, well, we appreciate
it. Okay, we'll let you go. Thank you very much for the extra effort, too, coming in today.
We try not to require that because otherwise nobody would show
yeah.
up.
Okay, where would we be without highly qualified employees in the county?
So John, John, did you work with Georgette Brown, Art Harvey, and now Trish? So three clerks. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
That's some testament to longevity. Good, steady people at the helm. That's important. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks. We also have recognition of several others that are not able to be here. William Bickers, Public Works, been 25 years. Ann Woodburn, DA's office, 20 years. Debbie Scaglione, Public Works, 20 years. Connie McConnell, Sheriff's Office, 20 years. And Jim Elardi, Sheriff's Office, 5 years. So just an amazing amount of time. And in that time, all expertise is represented. And we're very thankful for them and for their hard work. On to the administrative actions. Consideration of, we have the first one is the approval of report and recommendation for disposal of surplus property pursuant to ordinance number 2014-003. And this is the, you want to say the remnant of the sheriff's sale, the items that were put up for sale. And the items that did not sell, they need permission to get rid of in the best possible way. And that's what this is stipulating, to have that done. Do you make any comments on that, Commissioner?
No, I'm trying to make sure that that's not that I'm questioning that. I thought these were evidence that's collected that's been accumulated that is no longer the attempt to find the owners and all of that has been there's a whole process that they have to go through with every piece of evidence that's collected.
Right.
And I was not at the admin meeting, but if there's something different, please clarify. But in the past, this has just been something that's ongoing. We have inventory that after the case is done, there's a certain amount of time you have to keep it. You have to go through a process of trying to get the evidence back to those parties that may have been involved in that case. In some of the situations that was listed on the items that were going to be disposed of, the people who own them are deceased. There's no next of kin. And a lot of times they're not big items. There's some clothes, there's some tools, there's some other things. In some cases, there are larger items. There's vehicles, there's quads and boats and certain things that have been confiscated. My only questions had to do with whether or not, as we are going through this disposal process, that there is clothes, there's blankets, there's things that people might find useful, the needy, and I know that going through our sales process, 50% of the revenue has gone to the contractor who's facilitating the sale. It might make more sense to take those things that have not a whole lot of value, but maybe value to somebody. And I think you'd probably be the person who would know maybe where, who that charity might be or what have you. And then we could donate those things and instead of sharing those proceeds, basically not a whole lot, with somebody else, we would just be benefiting those organizations. The other thing is that there's about five items, I think, related to currency that don't necessarily, I'm not sure how those are being disposed of, but let's not go auction off a ripped dollar or ripped $100 bill. Let's just take it to the bank and see what we can figure out. I think that's probably going to be done. I'm sure the person who's in charge of this, and her name escapes me, but she's been there for a long time and very qualified to make those judgment calls under the auspice of the Sheriff's Department. So I wholeheartedly endorse this, and let's just move forward.
Yeah, I mean, this is a lot of these things have been done and by the Sheriff's Department. Carrie Lee is she's the person that's directly responsible for all of this stuff. And she goes through and has done a lot of pre-sale contacts and these kinds of things too. So I don't imagine anybody's going to find true Garands in there for a buck and a half or something. So. But this just authorizes them to proceed with the disposal. And
right.
Maybe the best disposal that they might have is through private sales or whatever else, too.
Yeah.
So.
Great.
Number two is the approval of the grant temporary easement and agreement with Annette Renee Yao, NKA Annette Renee Stumbo, Timory Caitlin Yao, and Savannah D. Yao. Mr. Hare.
Actually, Mr. Heck, I wasn't at the admin meeting. I understand this, but I don't know all the nuances that were discussed. I think this has been ongoing under the Forestry Department to provide access, but feel free.
Yeah, feel free. If this is if you want to say a sliver, but it's and I'm trying to get my computer, so let me shut my mouth and get this silly thing to somehow.
Well, it's to provide access to a timber sale, and it actually just goes onto that
idea. Property
and comes back. So it's like a switchback on a logging road. But it goes off of our property onto an easement we don't have access to, and it's just something that's going to take place. I think the duration of time was 6 years. The timber sale contracts are only three, but under the Oregon State Forest Practices Act, there's remediation and monitoring that takes place for a duration after a timber sale, so we really need to maintain that easement for longer than just the duration of the timber sale. This has already taken place and is proceeding, and this is one last element that kind of makes that the harvesting of those lands doable. Because otherwise, we'd have to build more road, and that's not very feasible. It's expensive, and it's not the best interest of the environment in that area. So I think this is through Mr. Streeter, our forester, does a good job. We it's kind of a complex system to try to manage all of our forest lands. Josephine County has the most complex system of ownership in 600 western counties, and we have 80 reciprocal rights of ways just with the BLM alone to facilitate our management of our forest lands. And so there's private landowners, there's the Forest Service, there's it just goes on and on. We've got potentially hundreds of these, and this is just one more.
Yeah, this is the proverbial sliver that's needed to accomplish this timber sales. And it costs the county $1,000 for this six-year lease or six-year permission to access the timber sales through their land, through their property.
And that's made up in part of the timber sale price.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's the history of that, and I finally got my computer up here, so it comes out to $165 a year. So that's a needed, but it's a good deal, and we appreciate everybody coming together on this and working together for a good conclusion.
Yeah.
Item C, we have approval of in-kind service agreement between Josephine County and American Fidelity for Section 125 insurance change, and thankfully I see JJ here, so.
JJ Schofield, HR Director. So part of our insurance for our employees is what's called Section 125 insurance. It is a flexible spending account and a health savings account. So these are accounts that employees can choose to participate in. They're called Section 125 because that is the section of tax code that they relate to. Currently, we have a couple different vendors for our HSA account and another third vendor for our flexible spending account. And what I'm bringing before the board today is a request to stop using those three vendors and instead go with a separate vendor that was referred to me through our primary healthcare insurance company, OEB. American Fidelity is a national company that has contracted with OEB to provide services for dependent verification. So every 3 years, part of the OEB rules is that every entity that's associated with them, every 3 years, all of their covered employees have to go through and show that they actually are married and those actually are their children, standard process. And this company is going to do that for the members if they elect to. Well, they also provide a number of different insurance options, and they provide the Section 125 at no cost to the county. And the way they make their money is they also provide supplemental insurance, life insurance, and short-term disability insurance. And they will offer those to the employees as well. They don't do national advertising. One of our current vendors, Aflac, does national advertising. You go to any football game and they have all kinds of advertisements. Well, this company doesn't do that. Instead, they offer some of the other services for free to local governments, school districts, in order to get them to have other insurance options, which is where they do make their money. The reason I'm interested in it is it's going to provide less administrative challenges with multiple vendors. It also makes it more simple for our employees. It will also save the county about, I think it was $2,500 a year, and any employee who has an HSA account, it'll save that employee about $50 a year. So it's a kind of a win-win for us. It saves us money, saves the employees money, and provides a single vendor instead of multiple vendors, so it makes the process easier.
And this has been talked about amongst all the employees and the unions and all the, and everybody supporting this.
Yes, we had a meeting with members from all the unions and non-unions to talk about the upcoming open enrollment, what our insurance options were, and everyone was in agreement this was a great option. It was kind of a, from an employee's perspective, it's kind of a no-brainer because it saves money.
Okay. Any questions?
No, sounds good. The consolidating of services, I think, makes a lot of sense. It's just, and that doesn't preclude an employee from going out and purchasing supplemental life insurance or anybody, anything else from anyone else. Mm-hmm. It just provides that consolidated vendor kind of a little bit of a foot in the door for access to to the clients that they're providing service for.
And folks who currently have Aflac, for example, they can keep their Aflac if they want it.
Yep.
Just any new employees will be going to the new.
Sounds
so
good.
They really like their vendor. They can keep it. We're not going to make them switch.
What does OEB stand for?
Oregon Educators Benefit Board. So they're a big group of almost every school district in the state and a number of local government special districts.
That was just made available to local governments in some legislation 2 years ago.
Yes.
And we took advantage of that, reducing our rates and I think improving our services.
Yeah.
And that's great. And I think you're to be given a lot of the accommodation for that. It's just bringing it to the board and the county as an option. And we weighed it out, looked at all the options, and it made a lot of sense. So
yeah.
Appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Number D, or letter D, the approval of position change for community corrections.
The community corrections has a position of parole probation supervisor. The change that's being recommended is to change how their pay is calculated. Currently, it is a tiered pay structure to where when you're put into supervisor, depending upon what training certificates you have, advanced certificate or supervisory certificate, your pay will have a tiered structure. And we're the only county that does that for supervisors. They pretty much all do it for parole officers, but once you get to supervisor, they just have a set pay structure. And after chatting with Director Gowie Ran, he believes it puts his department at a strategic disadvantage in potential recruitments for that position. If everyone else has a set pay structure and that we require a tiered rate, it potentially limits the applicant pool. And so he would like to put the position in line with what every other county does.
Okay. Any questions?
These are more for probably an admin meeting rather than a weekly business session. Is there on, why is it on the administrative calendar? Is there something controversial about this? Because this sounds
really
like a consent,
I mean,
calendar item. It's probably housekeeping. It might have been done last time when we kind of did that reorg in community corrections. So I just looking for the thing that makes it administrative. I don't want to miss anything.
It's a pay grade change and a change in cost. I'm just saying that would be the reason for it, because it does represent to the community corrections quite a substantive change in the way that the personnel are there.
So it's just one position, and it's really changing their tiered structure to a set rate like all other pretty much non-union employees that are supervisors.
Yes.
Making it comparable with the rest of the state.
It's not very controversial, really, but it is what would be classified as a substantive change to a job description.
And how is it affecting the current employee? Are they under the auspice they took this position thinking there was a tiered structure in place, and now they're, and where are we establishing the set rate in the tiered structure?
So one employee is already at the top of the tiered rate, so they will stay exactly the same. The other employee is not, and so their pay will go to the nearest but not less than step. So they won't jump up to the top or anything. Instead of being at step 9, they'll go to step 6 or whatever it is.
Okay.
So it'll have, I think it actually works out to, it's a small increase for that employee, but it's not a large increase because they just moved to the closest step to what their current step is.
Yeah, it looked like a pretty nominal amount for the year. Great.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
On to item 2E. And that is the approval of the economic development request from Siskiyou Bluegrass Festival. Mr. O'Hare.
Thank you. Arthur O'Hare, Finance Director. This is the second and final request from the Illinois Valley Chamber of Commerce to help support the annual Siskiyou Bluegrass Festival out at Lake Selmac. Last year, the board, they requested, and the board granted them a $5,000 assistance and to help with the advertisement and support of the program there at the Lake Selmac. And so this is the second request for that. Again, $5,000 to the Illinois Valley Chamber of Commerce. The board asked some questions as far as what the results were, what the impact was from our last year's contribution, and attached to your packet should be that response that we received from the chamber, the breakdown of the advertising costs of approximately $5,000. The increase in attendance, they increased it by over 100 attendees. Their profits, as they say, were over $5,000 last year. And they're requesting that we continue with that support the second and final time in order to allow them to try to expand the attendance of that festival.
And this is being requested from or through the Illinois Valley
Chamber of Commerce, yeah. It's a program sponsored by them.
And we did send them some questions as to what has happened in the past. Right. They did respond to that.
That's the response.
This is theoretically the last year that they will be requesting this money?
Correct.
Yeah, I just question that this is supposed to take place next month, and when you're advertising for something like this, it just seems you're just getting them. I don't know. It maybe should have started. I don't know when the process was initiated.
Yeah, the request came in last month.
Okay.
But our
we had questions.
But we requested an update on what their status was.
Yeah.
What they had done with last year's funds, what the attendance was.
And I think their last year request was for a multi-year request anyway. I think we had expectation that we were going to pay for this.
It yes.
didn't come in with any kind of a report, and that's what we were looking for.
Correct.
I just, when you're doing something like, I don't know, the Willamette Music Fest, which is not a comparison, the Cape Blanco, they're already releasing the number of the headliner person that's coming to next year's event in August and the location and all of that stuff. It just seems like you kind of got to get in the queue and advertise. Anyway, that would be my only criticism of it. I think this is a great program, and that they turned a profit last year is a reflection of their increase in advertising, which is exactly what we wanted. So this was self-sufficient, that this wasn't a reoccurring
draw
on the economic development
the
funds. And I guess that spells success, so whatever they're doing, it must be working out. So that's great. I really appreciate it because that's put on entirely by volunteers. Of course, the bands are compensated for their time, and they come from all over Oregon and maybe neighboring states, but it's a really fun event. I think I've been for the last couple of years. And
I think they had the Bluegrass Female Vocalist of the Year. So they brought some pretty good names.
No, that's great. That's really excellent.
Good.
Thank you.
Item number three on the agenda is requests, comments from citizens. If you have anything that you'd like to address to the board, please feel free to come to the podium, raise your hand, we'll call you, and you have 3 minutes, state your name and area of address, not necessarily the number address of where you live, so we have some idea. And if you'd like to speak, please, we'll start over on this side and move across. Anybody on this side want to say anything? Moving across, this side. Okay, we are done with that item. On to approval of the administrative action calendar, sir. 2A.
Yeah, I just want to make a suggestion that I've made before, and I don't know that this is, it just is helpful for me that we know what item 2A, approval of report and recommendation for disposal of surplus property pursuant to ordinance number 2014-003, I'd move for approval of that.
And I would second that. Any comments? Call the roll, please.
Yes.
Yes. 2A was approved, the approval of the reported recommendation for disposal of surplus property pursuant to ordinance number 2014-003. Number 2B.
I'd move for approval of the grant of temporary easement and agreement with Annette Renee Yao, a.k.a. Annette Renee Stumbo, Tamari Catlin Yao, and Savannah D. Yao.
And I will second the motion. Any comments?
Mm-hmm.
Call the roll, please.
Yes.
Yes. Item 2B is approved unanimously. 2C is the approval of an in-kind service agreement between Josephine County and American Fidelity for Section 125 insurance change.
I'd move for approval of item 2C, Mr. Chair.
And I will second the, any comments?
No. Thank you, Mr. Schofield. Yes.
Yes, item 2C was approved unanimously. 2D is the approval of the position change for community corrections.
Move for approval of item number 2D.
Happily, I'll second the motion. Any other comments?
Nope. Sounds good.
Call the roll, please.
Yes.
Yes. Item 2D was approved unanimously. 2E, the approval of the economic development request from the Siskiyou Bluegrass Festival.
Move for approval of item 2E.
And I will second that as well. Any other comments?
I just want to thank, I think Mr. Mancuso's name is on this request, and I know that Ryan Nolan, Michelle Binker, and a number of others from the Ivy Chamber. Who's the sweet lady that works there too?
Oh, I know
who I'm talking
faces
about.
There.
She's great. thank her as well. The person who's in charge of the chamber, really.
Yeah. The Illinois Valley Chamber of Commerce is the sponsoring agency. The festival is going to be held on July 16th of this year, 2016, and held at Lake Selmac. So.
Mm-hmm.
Get your bluegrass on, and
it's pretty much an all-day event. And if there's no smoke, it's really fantastic. Right next to the lake, it's beautiful. So there'll be a vendor there. Wild River Pizza and Brewing Company provides some food and beverages. So it's a really great event.
Good deal. Call the roll, please.
Yes.
Yes. Item 2E unanimously approved. On number four, the approval of the consent calendar consists of amendment number 2 to lease agreement with CASA of Jackson County for county property at 304 Northwest D Street in Grants Pass. That has to do with the rental of that property, and they've agreed to a rental of, what it is, 400 and, the rental is at $433.33 a month. That has been waived by the county through the end of the contract, which is next year, June 30th of 2017. CASA obviously does its has a marvelous role that they play in the lives of some very harshly affected children, and court-appointed special advocates, and they do a great job, and they deserve all of our support that we can certainly give to them, and they do a fine job here supporting these children in very traumatic times, and going to the courts and advocating for them and these kinds of things. So, number B is, or letter B is, a City of Cave Junction contract deputy agreement. Mr. O'Hare, do you have anything on that, or it's a contract that is worked out between the City of Cave Junction and the Sheriff's Department, and is basically a continuation. Total contract is $156,512, and this allows for them to have a deputy in the city limits of Cave Junction. The sheriff is still the authority that maintains this deputy's role that he plays. The sheriff tries to work in conjunction with the city and city manager, and to try to make it all work out for the best of everybody that is in the City of Cave Junction. Plus, there's also one jail bed that is reserved, quote unquote, for individuals brought up out of Cave Junction on situations, so that is also understood. There will always be a jail bed available if that is needed, and it solves the situation that oftentimes comes up there, and everybody's in agreement with it, and I think it's a good testimony of everybody working together for a common good. And also, number C is the amendment number 2 to the Intergovernmental County City Lease Agreement for Sheriff's Office Substation. And this also has to do with the substation is in the City Hall of Cave Junction, and we need to have some contract agreement with that, and that's what this signifies and stands for. So happy that that has been agreed to, and we're simply recognizing that this morning. Any other comments on that, or we'll take comments if you have any.
Sure. I'd move for approval of the consent calendar, items 4A, B, and C.
And I will second that. Any comments you want to make?
Yes. I'm a big supporter of CASA, the court-appointed special advocates, but we don't want to there's another advocacy organization that's co-located with them, the Children's Advocacy Center, and they play an important role as well. CASA's done, I know a little bit more about that one, that organization. It's made up of volunteers, almost 100%. Those are the people who come from our community and say, I want to make a difference in a child who's been affected. These are not necessarily bad kids. They're kids, they're good kids in bad situations by no choice of their own. Their parents are splitting up, and they have somebody in the court who's not a DHS person. They're not a paid employee by something. They really spend a lot of time with the child. They are connected with that child throughout the entire life of the system, is supposed to be, and maybe sometimes that one person that's there from start to finish, and it takes a lot of dedication, time, and energy, and we need more CASAs in Josephine County. We probably are satisfying about half of the need. If we have 150 kids in Josephine County in the system, we have about 75 CASAs. Those may not be the numbers, but I know that the number is roughly 50% of the need. We can and should do better, I think, in Josephine County, working with the local faith-based organizations, I think, is a good place to start, and we've worked on that to try to bridge that gap. One of the reasons that we provide for a reduced cost in rent, pretty much free, is the fact that CASA used to be a Josephine County organization. It would be under the umbrella, receiving all the benefits of HR and finance and some of the other things that they no longer receive the benefits of. They're still housed in a Josephine County facility, and the least that I think this board feels, at least the majority of it, can do is to provide them that space free of charge. And so we don't have another need for that building, even if they weren't in there, so it's a good thing that there's somebody in it. It's not good for buildings to sit empty, and frankly, it's one of the most important things, I think, that's done. Not to say that anything in the DA's advocacy, victim advocacy center, there's a lot of good work being done, but There was the understanding that they might be able to do a little bit better under the umbrella of Jackson County, and I don't know that that's working out exactly like we'd like. If we had more resources, I think we would bring it back under the umbrella of Josephine County, but we're not in a fiscal situation to be able to supplement that department the way it needs. But we're still exploring different opportunities and options to try to make that better. You renew a contract like this City of Cave Junction for a deputy, and it just seems like a new norm, which when I was growing up as a kid, we didn't have this. There were sheriff's deputies out there. People may say cavalierly that they never saw them. Well, you may not have been looking for them, and I think that they were out there when people needed them, as far as I remember and stuff. So I just... the deputy was out there on July 4th. I saw him kind of just helping out in that community as I was heading out to the coast. And it's really important to remember that there's just one guy out there with very little backup trying to kind of corral and keep the peace amongst a lot of different people. And it's not just the people who live there. It's the people who are passing through on the way to the coast and everybody else who's trying to enjoy the Illinois Valley and all of its beauty. So that's a lot of responsibility for one person, and it would be really great if we didn't have to just have one. It's only one person within the city limits, and that's the dedication of this contract. We lease back office space from the city because it has the radio and the internet access and some of those things that they would need to have access rather than coming back into Grants Pass in the jail. It can be done out at that satellite branch. We used to have a satellite in Murphy and other places in the county, and we no longer have all of those. But this is one of the last remaining substations that I'm aware of. So that's a cost of $350 a month to maintain that substation. It's a pretty good rate for all of the facilities that they have there. So,
yeah, I concur with your remarks about CASA. Having served 10 years on the Citizen Review Board in Josephine County, you begin to realize that there are a whole lot of kids that are caught up in just sad, sad situations, and they have very few resources. And yeah, to be able to see a responsible adult that is represented by these CASA workers come and stand as their advocate in a very threatening situation, courtroom situation. And they go through all of the interviews with the children. They're always at the court. They are responsible to support them and to care for them and not to admonish or not to be their judge or whatever, but to simply come along as a strong right arm. And they do a great job as far as these children are concerned. Some of these CASA workers, these youth have gone up, and they're 20 years old or 25 years old, and they still have a tie with these CASAs because of the important role that they did play. So I concur entirely. Call the roll, please.
Yes.
Yes. The approval of the consent calendar unanimously approved by the board. Do we have any other items for
not, the... Not, sir.
Okay. How about number six, matters from commissioners?
And today.
Well, I will say a couple of things. One is good to have you back.
Good to be here.
Just a couple of Josephine County Nonprofit Network newsletter. If you want to know what is going on in Josephine County, especially in the area of arts, these kinds of things, this Josephine County Nonprofit Network newsletter is a resource that you just cannot delve deep enough into. If you have any interest in it, you can just look it up online, Josephine County Nonprofit Network Newsletter. Send a letter to or email to the monitor of that and the coordinator of that, and they will be happy to put you on. They put out one a month, and there's probably 20 different items, boxes on there of art shows and projects are being done and in the county. It's just as fascinating to realize how much work is being done in the county by a whole lot of different folks. And then also we have seated in our front row individual who made the front page of the
local celebrity,
Arthur O'Hare. We're thankful for to the Chamber of Commerce here and their newsletter they put out, and they have been highlighting a county employee for about the last 5 months, I think it has been. And we just really do thank them for their their support. And they've highlighted Josephine County Finance Director Arthur O'Hare at this time, and it's a good read. And it too is online, or you can probably pick them up, and they have these newsletters scattered around as well. So any other items?
Yeah, I think we would be remiss if we didn't mention the missing plane and the passengers. That just thoughts and prayers from certainly myself go out to their families in this really tough situation, not knowing, not having answers to a lot of questions.
And that is the hardest part. That's the hardest part, not knowing.
So many people out and traveling over the holiday weekends, and you know, I think people take it for granted often when they're saying their goodbyes in the evening after fireworks or whatever, that everybody's going to make it home safe. And that isn't always the case, and I think it's really important. It's unfortunate that things like this are almost necessary sometimes to remind us of the fleeting, that we're just, it's just pretty fragile that we're all just here. We come back every day and get up and keep doing what we do, but that isn't always the case, so...
Okay, it is 9:36, and this meeting is adjourned.